Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. God promised the children of Israel ownership of a vast swath of land that the nation has never yet fully occupied. Nevertheless, Pastor Brian Grant draws from their experience upon entering the promised land under Joshua, lessons that will enable today's believers to occupy all the territory God has promised in Christ Jesus. Here now is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his first message in this short series entitled, Moving to the Victory Side.
Work is required. Commitment is required. We need to be getting out and being involved. Some of us are called to some of the ministries, but we can't. We are here on a Sunday. Thank God you are here on a Sunday. But I encourage you, my brother and sister, to seize more of the unclaimed territory. To Christ, that you're always moving further away from the edge. Amen. Put this in your notes. God's goal is to conform us to the image of Christ. And if we're on the victory side and not working to be conformed to the image of Christ, we have vast unclaimed territory. Can I say that again? God's goal is to conform us to the image of Christ. And if we're on the victory side and not working to be conformed to the image of Christ, we are just like the Israelites, only benefiting from 4% of what they got. Wouldn't you like more? Wouldn't you like more, my brother and sister? Wouldn't you like more? Wouldn't you like to seize more of this territory that God has in store for you? Wouldn't you like to get everything that's for you? You know, I've sometimes heard all these songs and that make it seem like we already got everything that God has for us. That is not true. We do not have everything God has for us. There's a whole lot more. And by God's grace, might we seize what God has for us. Well, so what have we said so far? God often uses our losses to move us to the victory side. Secondly, God has vast unclaimed territory for us on the victory side. And third and finally, God demands courage from those on the victory side. God demands courage from those on the victory side. We're going to spend a little time taking a look at this. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we've gone from verses 1 to 5 already. Now let's go from 6 to 9. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be very strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an incredible promise. The Lord is with us. Wherever we go, we do not have to stay at ease. Amen? Now, I think most of us are aware, and if you're not, Israel should have crossed the Jordan how many years earlier? 40 years earlier. They should have crossed over long ago. So in case you don't know the story, for everybody's benefit, let's then jump to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. So you're at Joshua, just turn back a couple books to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read the first two verses, then I'm going to jump to verse 25. Here's how it begins, Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Notice what God says. What did God say he's doing? He's giving the whole thing to them, right? I'm giving to the children of Israel. But just like, remember again, when God says he's giving you, it doesn't mean that you don't have nothing to do. All right? I'm giving it to them from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Please note then that everybody who goes, who went, are leaders. When we start looking at what did these people who went to spy out the land say, just remember all our leaders. All those of us who regard ourselves as leaders, whether in ministries or whatever, just make sure that we recognize that God has big expectations for leaders. We go to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So the men went and they went and they spied out the land. Verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. When they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And they showed incredible fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are very strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, all these ites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Oh, so 10 of the 12 who went, 10 are giving a very bad report. Caleb, he steps in and he says, he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it. We're able to do it because he's depending on the power of God. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Oh, my brother and sister, young Christian, just know that if God is on your side, amen? If God is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Did they sing that this morning? I don't know. What a mighty God we serve. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. By the way, they did see real giants. Not talking about the New York Giants, but they saw real giants. Scholars suggest that these men might have been 9 foot tall. Now, by way of comparison, the two tallest men who ever played in the NBA, in NBA history, were how tall? You know, everyone like to test, do they? I gave you some. Did you notice that ever since I gave you the Eagles clue on Minshew, he's been playing. None of you are old water to him, you Minshew. And all of a sudden, so tell me now, what's the tallest NBA player ever? How tall is he? You're wrong. So therefore, Yao Ming is not the right guy. He's 7'6". The tallest guys who have ever played are two guys who were 7'7". And you 76ers fans ought to know one of them because his name is Minute Bo. Nobody remembers him? Oh, I used to go watch Minute Bo, a stick man. Poor Minute is 7'7". But despite his height, he was no giant. Guess why? Minute Bo weighed 200 pounds. I could sit on him. 200 pounds. Can you imagine 7'7"? Any of you ever watched him play? None of you remember Minute Bo? Whoa. Is it that far back? That man was like a stick, 7'7" and weighing 200 pounds. Well, I'm not supposed to be talking about sports. I'm preaching, talking about the Bible. But the Anakim had both height and brawn. And their size, can you imagine a 9-foot man? With some weight on him and some muscle on him. Well, these poor boys, when the 10 spies saw him, they were ready to run. But Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it with God's strength. What is courage? The great philosopher John Wayne once said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Did you get it? Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Just because you are scared, you don't have to run. A person of courage, when you are scared, you still saddle up. And because we know Jesus, we can depend on Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we get the impression that courage is an absence of fear, but that is so untrue, for fear is an emotion that every human being has. We all have it. But in the midst of our fear, God wants us to saddle up anyway, because we have the unshakable promises of God. Oh, young man, young woman, older person, don't miss this. God wants us to saddle up even when we are scared, because we have the unshakable promises of God. Amen. Can I just show you some of what the Bible says? Just very quickly, Deuteronomy 31. Don't worry, we're going to be done in about 7 minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 to 8. What does God's word say? Be strong and of what? Good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, says the Lord. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Amen. It's interesting how many Christians will tell us, I'm not going to do it. I'm not willing. I'm afraid. Can we talk? I'm not throwing any stones. I'm just talking. Because, you know, a lot of Christians, when they read these stories in the Bible, they cannot believe that the 10 spies would do what they did. I listen to Sunday school teachers, and usually the 10 spies are, what is the word to use for them? What is the ones that are the bad parts of the story? The 10 spies are so lousy, only these two are the heroes. But yet when it's time for us to saddle up, we come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't. We're scared of this. We're scared of the dog outside the man's yard. We're scared because there are guns in that neighborhood. Oh, I can't go to that area because they have some people there with guns. But brother, they have some people with guns in your neighborhood too. What am I really saying? God is not asking to be any super courageous, you know. What God is asking us is just simply trust him. And as you know, I've told you the story. The gunman came right up to my face in Trenchtown with his gun. I'm trying to teach Sunday school. And he put his gun right to my face. And he tell me, we don't want to hear none more gun down here. But God down here. They wanted guns, but not God. So, sometimes you have to be wise. So you don't necessarily fight with the gunman. You say, okay. And you just go, and next week you come back. And the gunman hold you up again. Come back next week. All I am saying is you are amazed what God will do. The God, I'm off on a tangent, you know, I wasn't intending to say all this. But the reality is, we won't even go down the neighborhood. The evangelistic outreach has a meeting, but I can't go down there because Philly is a bad zone. I wish I could tell you about how bad some of them places that we've been are. It's not about how safe the neighborhood is. It's about the protecting power of the Almighty God. And He says He will never leave us or forsake us. And it's time, brothers and sisters, it's time we decide that we are going to trust God and obey God. Listen, don't run. No, I'm now. Don't go there now and run out and say, I'm just going to go because Brother Brian said, No. You go where God sends you. What I'm simply saying is, don't say I'm not going where God is sending me because it's too dangerous. But on the other hand, don't run where God is not sending you. You see, where He sends you, He'll take care of you. So let me just say this. You know, sometimes He'll let you get shot for His glory. I leave that alone for you to chew on. But sometimes He will. The question is, am I really trying to allow God to get all the glory out of my life? If I want God to get all the glory out of my life, I'm going to obey God no matter what. Amen? Well, let me try and get back. Since God was on their side, there was no need to fear. But once they saw the giants, they were so scared, they refused to move forward. And some of you know this story, what happened. God decreed that anyone over 20 years old at the time the spies went to spy out Canaan would die in the wilderness. And so a journey, stay with me now, we're almost done. A journey should have taken 11 days ended up taking 40 years. Can you imagine? You're only 11 days away from the promised land. It took 40 years of circling. And God also said that anyone who was more than 20 at the time of their their rebellion, every one of those would die in the wilderness. 40 years circling and circling. And some Bible teachers tell us that probably 2 million people died in the wilderness. There were 11 days journey from the promised land, and they died in the wilderness. Put this down. There is a very high price when we allow fear to replace our courage. There is a high price. We may not think we are paying a high price, but young man, young woman, you are paying a high price. Oh, I thank God today that what I learned from my dad, that my dad was in Trenchtown all those nights. Some nights we never saw him because the gunmen, there was so much gunfire going on there. He just had to hunker down and stay in the churchyard. Back then we had no phones, cell phones, things like that. So nobody knew what had happened to him. Was he dead or alive? We didn't know. But he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. And by God's grace, tons and tons of lives were changed by the gospel of Christ. But look how he encouraged some of us. Amen? You don't know what? There's a high price when we allow fear to replace our courage. Well, by Joshua 1, those who were teens. So now we're in Joshua, okay? And by the time we get to Joshua, everybody who was a teenager when Israel rebelled was now in their 50s and older. And may have been wondering, I'm using my sanctified imagination. The Bible doesn't say this. But can you imagine if you were a teenager and you know that the reason we never went was because all them giants were there? What are you wondering? What happened to the giants? What about them giants? I hope them giants are all dead by now, because we're back to square one. The very thing we were running from 40 years ago, we still have to deal with it now if them giants are still here. So were the giants still there? Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 12. Well. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to me, Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." So here's Caleb now. "I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." He said, "I was 40 when we went to spy." And he said, "I brought back word to him, and as it was in my heart," he brought a good report, remember. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold," Caleb says, "the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, I'm 85 years old. All right, I'm 85 years old. And look what he says in verse 12. "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said." Thank God for an 85-year-old man who, despite the giants, he says, "Give me this mountain." Wow. Caleb was not afraid of the giants, for as far as he were concerned, if they were 9 feet tall, that made them an even bigger target. Amen. And the taller they were, the harder they were going to fall. Amen. But Caleb said, "Give me this mountain," because he knew God always keeps his promises and would help him drive out the giants. Oh, my young friend, older friend, I wonder who it is this morning that God is challenging about giving your life to him, being willing to serve him, being willing to courageously stand with God. Some of you he may be sending to some mission field far away. Some he may be sending to mission fields close by. But there are young people here that God is speaking to this morning and asking you to make yourself available to him so that he can use you in miraculous ways. Give me this mountain. It requires courage to claim all God has in store for us. Here's the verse I learned as a teen. Don't worry, I'm really ending now. I'm going to put this verse on the screen. Daniel 11:32b. "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." So write this in your notes. Final thing. God is looking for more Calebs. Believers whose faith is so anchored in him, they are willing to do great exploits for him. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who's saying, "God, I'm one of those believers who are willing to make myself available to you. God, I'm available to you. Use me. Empower me to be your servant."
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God,
I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.